fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about my family experience. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about spiritual combat. Last week was focused on the Christian life really is a life of spiritual combat, calling us to be alert every day. And this past week, I've been trying to talk about what that means concretely each day, how we can live out our lives and how the Lord wants to lead us and help us. And of course, really the Christian life is a life in the Holy Spirit. The key to living a different way of life, a new way of life, finding the energy, the joy, the inspiration, the conviction, the passion, being able to see clearly the value, having the right sort of calculation about what really matters in life, that flows from having a new relationship with God, with Christ in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us new life. Jesus said he came to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. He knows he's not just putting out a set of commandments and standing there and saying, okay, now get to it, sort of on your own willpower, on your own strength. He knows our weakness. Scripture says he knows our frame. Nobody understands the human heart better than Jesus and our weaknesses and our strengths. And he's come in love and mercy to give us a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. And that's a new life in the Holy Spirit. So the center of the new life is surrendering to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that means being open to all the graces we received at baptism and confirmation, that full life in the Spirit that the apostles talk about, a full life in the grace of renewal, you might say, and in a renewed life. So St. Paul talks so often about that new life in the Holy Spirit, and really, it's the Spirit that makes it possible for us to even grasp who Jesus is, to grasp his majesty and his lordship and his glory. And it's the Holy Spirit who gives us an affection for Christ and an affection for God. It's part of the healing of the human heart that happens when we begin to walk in the church through the graces we receive in the sacraments and the preaching of the church, hopefully in a healthy community life that we share with Jesus at the center of it. What happens over time is our heart gets softened, tenderized, healed, and it begins to become more God-directed. And we're made capable, the Holy Spirit helps us in our mind and our spirit, to be able to grasp the mercy of God and the love of God and the tenderness and affection of God, the gentleness of God, but also the awesomeness of God, the holiness of God, the power of God. And we begin to see God more and more as he is. We'll never see it like we need to see it until we get to heaven. But what Jesus does is he begins the process. We call that the process of holiness. And it comes from just living with God on a daily basis and saying yes to him and living with his people and following the lead of the Holy Spirit, who wants to make each one of us a current of grace. That was a phrase Pope Francis used, becoming, he was talking to a stadium full of Catholic charismatics, and he said to them, people really who really come into a renewal in the Holy Spirit in their life in a fresh and a new way, and he said to them, this is your identity. You are a current of grace in the church and for the church. You're a current of grace. So what's that current of grace? It's a fresh awakening to a full life, a fuller life in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I came to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And clearly, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, there was a very dramatic transformation of their life. And that's after having lived with Jesus for 3 years. I mean, being close to him every day and seeing his work and seeing God work through them even with signs and wonders, they needed more. And that's what we need now. We need more. And maybe the place for each of us, I was talking this week about trusting God, seeking first the kingdom of God. And that begins with crying out to God, knocking on the door, seeking him. Lord, come. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon me. Lord, open my heart. Lord, help me become all you meant to become, Holy Spirit. Come and live within me. Come, Lord Jesus, come and reign in me. Come and make me everything you desire me to be. And that's something that happened, I experienced as a young man, happened in a completely different way in my life. I grew up in a family of seven kids in a small little community in southern Minnesota. Catholics, you know, lived a block from the Catholic schools and the cathedral parish we were in a place called New Ulm, wonderful little town. And we were typical Catholics, I think, living most of our lives. You know, we went to church on Sundays, we went to the Catholic schools, and there was certainly a measure of faith there and recognition that church was important, God's important, that kind of thing. But it wasn't until later in life, till, you know, maybe late high school, when through the influence of a couple of my older sisters and others, began to see what it meant to cry out to God, to really seek first the kingdom of God, and to begin to build a life around God, with God at the center of our life, and began to see it as normal. For most of my life, that would have seemed kind of bizarre and over the top. But my sisters began to influence the family to say, look, first of all, openly talking about their faith, talking about Jesus and knowing Christ in a personal way, knowing and seeking his help and praying on a daily basis, beginning to read the Bible and talk about the Bible and understanding what's going on at Mass and in the sacraments and embracing those things and having a desire to reach out to others, to help those in need, to be able, all kinds of things like that were stirring, and believing that God is alive now and speaking his word to one another and expecting God to act as we begin to move in his call, as we begin to seek the life of holiness and seek the life of mission, as we begin to move in that direction, to expect God's help and God's direction. It was just something entirely new and entirely fresh that happened in my family. And it was transformative. And there was a tremendous awakening that happened in us that I didn't know was possible. I probably earlier in my life, as I said, would have thought, as most of my siblings would have thought, maybe all of them, that that's just kind of wacky to be that serious about faith, that faith ought to be private. You ought to be quiet about it. You ought to, you know, not get too serious about it. That's kind of the way it is for a lot of Catholics. To be normal is to be nominal, to be a nominal Catholic, to, you know, go to Mass on occasion and try to be religious at different times, you know, make some donations here and there, help out at a pancake breakfast or a bingo or whatever, these kinds of things. And I mean, those are good, those are nice things to do, but it's not radical transformation. That's not the call to discipleship. That's a minimalistic Christianity, as Pope John Paul II called it. He said, we're being tempted to, and we're being led, he said, into a Christian minimalism. He said, that's really Christianity at risk because it's meant to be radically lived. And so I said, well, you know, how can I do that as a mother, as a father, as a grandparent living in a home? I mean, I can't set the world on fire. What do I do? What we do is we just live with God on a daily basis. Seek him right where you are. I think about my mom a lot. My mom died this past year. She's 93. And my family, I believe, came to faith in a more complete way, in a fuller way, came to a new life in the power of the Holy Spirit, began to encounter Christ in a personal way, and all that stuff that was so transforming for all of us and that we still share to this day, I believe it really began with the consistent prayer of my mom, the daily praying of the rosary multiple times, sometimes a day, as she's raising seven children. And then as kids moved on, having a house full of grandkids all the time. And everybody knew what faith meant to mom. She would have her quiet times every day, sometimes multiple times a day, where she'd just get done in the kitchen and she'd go sit in her chair and she'd pull out the rosary and she would just pray, or she would read the scripture. And we just learned to just give mom her space. And quietly, she had a very big impact on each one of us and each one of the grandkids in their own way, because they experienced mom as walking the walk. She was a loving mother, a loving grandmother. She was simple. She grew up not a simpleton by any means. She was simple, loving. She was humble. She was born just two blocks away from the cathedral parish that we were in, and the house that she grew up in. She was born there. And she married my father, who went in shortly after, married into the Second World War. He came back and got some work and business going, and he ended up buying a house a block away, really a block and a half away from the house that mom was born in. So mom lived for almost 90 years, I guess maybe 86 years or something like that, within a block or two of the cathedral parish and the Catholic schools he went to. And she never traveled that much. She and Dad did a little bit of traveling. But her life mainly centered around that small community. And she went to Mass on a regular basis. Often she would go daily. But it was that daily rhythm of prayer that happened even into her old age. We go visit her and be with the kids, and we'd see Mom. You know, she'd have that hour in the morning where she'd pray the rosary, she'd read scripture, she'd tune into the Mass on EWTN with Mother Angelica and the sisters there. She often ended the day with more prayer, and throughout the day she would serve and make meals and do laundry and just enjoy the kids and talk with them. And her love and her consistency and her clear devotion to the Lord. And, you know, when the kids would come, whether it would be us or the grandkids and we're struggling with something, it would get on Mom's prayer list right away. And Mom would pray, and often good things would happen. But she just lived with the Lord. And when Mom died, Mom and Dad had 73 children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. And I can say this honestly, Mom had a significant impact, as far as I know, on everybody. And she often had an impact of faith. She brought confidence and security and love and warmth and faith into the life of all of us in different ways. And when Mom died last spring, on Friday night, the night before the funeral, we were all gathered at the funeral home and had a time remembering Mom, and went on for a while, and everybody was leaving, and I was the last one out, and I looked back, and the casket was there, and the casket was still open. And I thought, you know, I just want to take a minute to just kneel and pray and sort of say goodnight to Mom. And I knelt down there, and I just felt this flood, tremendous flood of love. And I began to weep and weep. And I know I was experiencing grief, and it's totally normal and totally right. But I also felt something profoundly spiritual. And the reason I was weeping as hard as I was is I felt the Lord say that Mom was a mighty woman of God. That she was a warrior, that she had tremendous spiritual authority. She wasn't ordained. She never took a theology class. She had a high school education. Like I say, she never traveled all over the world, was not a big sophisticate, but she had impact. And I felt like the Lord said that I owe her my life. That is, my life of faith and everything the Lord has given to me. Mom was a key instrument in making that happen. And I once told her, not just a few years ago, I was sitting with her and I was amazed at her home up north, and I was so peaceful and quiet, and I just was thinking about all the kids and all the big family Mom has and how many of them are following the Lord. And not perfect. We don't glow in the dark. We got weaknesses like anyone else. But I said to Mom, Mom, I know people all over the world. I know powerful people. I know political people. I know finance. And lots of those people would give away everything they have what you have. And that is the love of your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and to see them following the Lord. Because you live with the Lord. You had the courage to live with the Lord and to trust him with your life, and it bore profound fruit. Friends, that's what we're all called to. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.